Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And we are here because in our studies, in our books that we're reading, the magazines that we subscribe to, or online newsletters that we get, John, you have come across an article on gardening for the ages. And
yes.
This is stuff that we've kind of all suspected. The benefits of gardening, not just the physical and mental health additions to your quality of life, but it seems that there has been researchers that have been looking at pockets of populations throughout the globe and linking longevity with gardening. So I thought it was a really great, interesting article that you brought up, and that's going to be our topic for this morning.
Well, I think gardening, you know, has a lot of benefits, and there are mental and physical benefits to gardening. And, you know, now we've got some research to help back some of that up. And there's you know, I know I get several horticulture, you know, research type notices and stuff. And there are quite a few researchers that are looking at the benefits of gardening, of landscape, you know, development and everything. And as far as the mental psyche of people, you can reduce crime and, you know, low income areas by fixing the parks up and,
sure,
you know, dressing things up like that,
and pulling those kids in and teaching them
statistics
how
of reduced crime when you start improving areas, you know, just a little bit at a time, just a park, putting some trees in and, you know, keeping the grass green and stuff.
We see that in a lot of in urban areas and all those studies happening where you have the parks and the green spaces, or even adding trees to an area and reducing car speeds has been linked to be able to add to that safeness of that area that you're looking at. And I think it's great, not just the benefits that you're looking for, just the aesthetics is looking at a green area as opposed to concrete walls, but also we're going further and we're seeing that people are trying to reconnect where their food comes from as well. You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago and linking all of these farm to the fork initiatives or path to the plate or whatever you want to call them. We're seeing this coming in and with this new generation of folks where this disconnect has happened, you know, through the generation. So gosh, what better than growing your own vegetables in the garden?
Yeah, we've kind of gone through this where
our
parents and grandparents grew vegetables right there at their place. They, you know, did a lot of more agrarian type professions and
out of necessity, they put food on the table.
Come back to the city. You know, everybody moved into the city. Now they're all leaving the city and moving to suburbs, and they're interested in gardens and farmers markets. And so there's quite a revival now of interest in where your food comes from and growing your own food and things like that. But again, this data that was in this article is talking about centenarians, I think is the term, for those that are over 100.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these people, one of the common factors was they all garden.
Right.
So that's you know, didn't smoke, they didn't know, you know, all the thing, you know, drink and everything else. These people all garden quite a bit and, you know, raise their own produce and stuff. So they were nutritious and, you know, kept themselves outside, physical activity, and then just the mental being outside.
You know, well, and I know, you know, I found that article to be so interesting that you sent us, John, in it. And I thought, well, this really is the absolute truth. I always laugh. My mother used to say that gardeners are down to earth, and it really is true. And if I get stressed and I'm angry or upset about something, then I go outside. I go out in my backyard, and it's amazing how quickly your stress level reduces, and you know you get to digging in the dirt, or even if you're raking leaves or whatever you're doing to clean up your yard, and you know, it calms you, and then when you're done, you sit back and look at the accomplishments that you've managed, and what a huge difference it makes. And I think it's wonderful that as we're doing these things, you know, because we're kind of, I think we're living in a time when, I know my own kids use the term that we're helicopter grandparents, you know, because we can come and go, and we share these things with our children. And I think that's one of the most important pieces of this. As we do it, then we pass that on to our kids and start to grow our junior master gardeners, if you will.
It, you know, you're looking at gardening, and it's always been, you know, on the top 10 or the top 5 top list of hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really what sets gardening apart from other activities is a sense of accomplishment of being out into the garden, and whether, like you said, raking leaves, sowing seeds, harvesting cut flowers for your garden. There's a sense of accomplishment when you're done with your task. And it's also very tangible. You can see that, and it's that satisfaction. And I think that's really what contributes to that lowering that stress level, refocusing your energy on other things. And, you know, it's a great way to pass the time, too. With folks that we see are volunteers and just gardeners in general, it's just a great way to be able, in a productive way, to use your free time.
And I think even right now, you know, because I look out of my backyard and I'm going, oh, yuck. But you know, I went out the other day and I spent about 4 hours and I was amazed at what I accomplished. Mm-hmm. And yes, everything is dormant and it's brown and kind of crusty. But as I peek down underneath things, I see new growth coming up. And so you do, you get excited. And that's a positive feeling as opposed to the negativity that has a tendency to permeate our lives in this day and time.
I ran across a term called plant blindness.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I looked it up and was going, what the heck is plant blindness?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you don't see the trees because of the forest.
Right.
So you're driving along and you're not really paying attention to stuff, and yet there's this beautiful tree in bloom or this beautiful shrub in bloom,
mm-hmm.
and you're driving right past it. You don't even realize it's there. And somebody said, did you see that beautiful rose bush in bloom? Huh?
Exactly.
I mean, they're right there in front of you, and you don't see them because you're not concentrating enough on the plant material around
you. And you know what? I think a lot of that has to do with folks that are gardeners or horticulturalists or just even plant enthusiasts. If they share that information with someone, I bet you that rose bush from that second person will always see that rose bush from now on. Yeah. And those other things will start kind of popping into focus in the landscape. And I say this because I have that own personal experience. A couple of years ago, I taught my husband what the Mexican redbud looks like. And in a couple of weeks or so, you're going to start seeing those start to bloom out. And he says, oh, I wish you would never taught me that, because now I see that darn tree everywhere that I drive. And I said, you know, but it's true, but you never really realized it before. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, we have so many of them. I said, well, there you go.
My kids grew up with me lecturing about butchered mulberry trees.
Oh, my goodness.
So much that they'll go, wow, that's really a bad printing job, Dad.
Right.
You go, yep.
You do
Yeah, I don't believe it. You're actually paying attention.
Right,
to me.
Exactly. After all of these years,
it sunk in more than you thought, John. Yeah. You know, you think, well, you know, your dad and all that kind of business, but it is true.
Well, they said it takes about 17 years for an idea to become, you know, factual for people to believe it. And that's about what my kids.
Right, you're at. Right.
Well, they've got lots on their minds, too. So.
And that's really also one of the things I think of the benefits of gardening, too, is that there's a sense of community. You know, if you're out in your backyard or your front yard and doing things, and you see your neighbors maybe doing that, maybe there's no other reason for you to speak to your neighbor. Maybe you have nothing else in common, but you just happen to be out there at the same time. Well, then you build in that repertoire with them and you talk about things. And I think a lot of times people, as they retire and they get, you know, start slowing down, isolation becomes a really big problem, too. You know, and you confine yourself into your home or to your area, and that's about it. So this is a great way to be talking to people. So whether you're lecturing your kids about pruning jobs or just showing your husband about that Mexican redbud, you know, you're really sharing that and starting that conversation, I guess.
If you go into a coffee shop and you say something political, you got half the half the people hate you, half the people might support you.
And gardening is a really good, safe subject.
And everybody has loves you. To say about gardening.
And it's more than likely positive. We were talking about that at a coffee shop the other day.
Talk about their successes.
We were at this trendy coffee shop, John and I, the other day, and I said, you know, we took out a little table here. We started building a terrarium with some succulents. We'd get all these young kids around
exactly
us.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Well, you think of what that does to reduce the incidence of depression. And the statistics show that is a very helpful thing, that, you know, people that if they have one of the deals that was in that article was if they presented a stressful situation and half of the people then they asked to go in and sit back down in the house and read, and the other people went outside. And the people that went outside and putzed around in the yard, that their stress level came down tremendously. And I think it's a great, you know, just like the different kinds. It's a therapy. It's garden therapy, and that's what we call it.
Yeah, I'll drive by sometimes. I'll see you. But I've seen a lady out in her lawn area pulling spurge, milkweed, one at a time out. I feel like going by and telling her, forget it. You know, you're wasting your time. But it's probably therapy to her. She's probably,
right.
You know, she's out there. She's,
exactly.
Got her mind off the world, you know.
And just focusing on her task at hand. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And getting rid of her weeds as well.
Yeah.
Could she come to my house? Because I have some of that.
You want her name and number?
She has.
That also makes good neighbors, too, because we all have those neighbors that it seems like the wind always kind of blows those weed seeds into your yard.
Yeah.
So maybe you go and chat them up. Maybe you'll kind of control some weeds in the future.
There's a lady that's with Washington State University, Kathy Wolf, Dr. Wolf, and she, I think, labels herself as a social horticulturist.
Mm. There you go.
And that's a new field that's come about with people looking at the effects of horticulture on social environment. And she's done a lot of studies showing how trees and, you know, landscapes and materials and stuff like that have produced different psyche. And she's one of her favorites, and one I like a lot because I see it abused horribly, is strip shopping malls.
Oh, uh-huh.
The people in them want the whole place void of any plant material so that everybody can see their shop.
Right.
And she has data showing that, and pictures, you know, the whole thing of a strip mall that's been well done, well
landscaped,
nice big trees, benches, and, you know, all that stuff set out. And so people come to that because it is such a green environment.
And a place to congregate, and then they walk in the store.
Whereas one has no plants, is hotter than you know what, and people don't like to go there. They might go there at night, but they don't go there during the day.
It does make a difference.
You know, look at Sierra Vista Mall, look at Bassett, you know, where the big trees are, that's where the first cars come to park.
Right. Get a little shade.
And out in the middle, there's nothing.
That's a concrete jungle.
Yeah.
And
so,
it's hot. And
she's got the data there, and yet these developers and everybody still go with the nuclear bomb site with nothing growing.
Right.
That's, I think, where we come in, that, you know, as we're doing the radio show and talking about these things, and as a master gardener, you know, we're out there. Our primary purpose is to educate people. You know, we're not out there to dig in your garden. We'll show you how and teach you how. And those are the things that we have to do, is continue with that education. That's our primary goal.
Well, I mean, there's a great example here of a community garden at out northeast with a Weldon Yerby.
Unbelievable.
Garden, and that thing's been going on how many years? I came here in 1980, and it was going then.
Mm-hmm.
And those seniors all have a blast out there.
Right.
You know, growing different kinds of vegetables. They have, you know, people from, you know, Philippines, from Asia, different parts of the world.
Sharing their gardening
and
knowledge.
And they're used to certain vegetables. They bring them in, grow them there. And all of a sudden, these other people are all starting to grow mung beans.
Right, exactly.
And so it's really quite interesting how they get together on this.
A sense of community and bringing all these folks together. Well, if you're interested in learning more about any kind of gardening in El Paso, we invite you to check out the El Paso Master Gardener website. And that's txmg.org/El Paso. And also, if you have
any... Are you still taking applications for
For the Master Gardener Class? Not yet. We kick off that in June.
People need to think about getting involved with the Master Gardener program.
Exactly. And before and visit the website, and there's links to our social media, our Facebook pages on there as well. And if you have any gardening questions from now until then, you can always reach us at 771-2354. Well, we covered a lot today, but we're out of time. But we do want to thank Sam Cassiano for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.